You are a seeker of better health, change, clarity. You yearn to feel peaceful, fulfilled, vibrantly healthy. You can feel lost in the chaos, the busyness, the feeling that there's just something missing from life. You are ready for a change. Welcome to Moondance Wellness Coaching. I'm your host and coach, Angela Kiddock. I've been on a journey through disease and health that's led me to find deeper meaning and greater fulfillment in life. Taking an expanded view of the word health, let's examine our personal growth, spirituality, our emotions and stress, exploring what it means to embody wellness in today's world. Well, hello, friends. This is the first podcast episode of 2023, so hello and welcome. The end of the year always feels like a natural time to look back over the year and reflect on what has actually occurred. We can get so caught up in going from one thing to the next, without really stopping to savor and take it all in, to ask ourselves, where have I just come from? And to where am I heading so quickly? Doesn't life feel like that sometimes? Like it's just some big race towards an unclear finish line? But it is the quiet of winter that calls to us to practice slowing down, experiencing stillness, and reflecting deeply. Even if for just one day, or 1 hour, or 1 minute right now. So, before we dive into what's been going on this year, let's take this 1 minute to breathe deeply and slowly and to experience what it feels like when we stop the outward race and reconnect with our insides. Let's take 1 minute to reconnect to our heart, our soul, our spirit. I'm going to set a timer for 1 minute, and wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whether it's driving or walking or washing the dishes, take this 1 minute to just breathe. Let's take a practice breath first. So inhale in through the nose, down into the belly, feel your belly expand like a balloon, and then exhale out through the mouth with a big sigh to release. So we'll do this 3 times together. First breath in through the nose, down into the belly. Then exhaling out through the mouth with a big sigh and feeling any tension in your body melting off. Again, in through the nose, down into the belly. And let it out through the mouth with a big sigh and feeling any static in your mind smoothing out. And last time, in through the nose, down into the belly. Let it out through the mouth and feel any heaviness in your heart releasing on that exhale. Then continue breathing in through the nose, down into the belly, and now gently out through the nose. Continue this way, breathing deeply and slowly in and out through the nose for a few more moments. So, how do you feel now? Take a moment to notice the shift. And notice that it took only 1 minute to make a small but noticeable shift. Take that practice with you throughout the rest of this year and into this holiday season where we love to report to each other how busy we are. And remember, it only takes 1 minute to make a small but noticeable shift. 1 minute. So, what has been going on this year? The reason that I haven't created any podcast episodes this year is because I've been working on a different sort of creative project. This whole year, I've been creating and self-publishing a book. Towards the end of last year, I signed up for the Tiny Book course, which is a neat little course created by two savvy women who have a ton of experience in all things book related, from traditional publishing to self-publishing to writing to literary agenting to owning an actual bookshop. The goal of the course is to demystify the process of writing a book, break it down into tiny little doable steps, and finish with a completed published book. I've always wanted to write a book, but thus far it hadn't felt like the right time yet. But then over the course of last year, I found that I had really honed my writing process from something that used to feel stressful and agonizing to something that was enjoyable, energizing, even a flow state at times. And the way that I did that was through writing my newsletter. In one of those newsletters, I mentioned how I had been tweaking my writing process so that it felt less awful, and it seemed like it resonated with some of you too. There's this idea that creativity has to be some kind of war, a torturous process of extraction that maddens us until we finally experience that sweet victory against all the odds. I'm going to tell you, it definitely doesn't have to be that way. At moments, yes, it can feel that way for sure, but those are often the moments when we're getting in our own way. And I definitely don't believe that creativity is something that is only bestowed upon a select gifted few. It's there for all of us. We just have to understand ourselves and understand how to access it. That's the fun part, and something I'd love to share more about in the future, as it can be a cool intersection of some of my favorite topics. Understanding our unique personality and brain wiring, knowing how to access our individual flow state, identifying the way our intuition and inner wisdom shows up for us, which isn't the same for everyone, as well as the idea that creativity is intricately linked with our spirituality, which many of us are disconnected from, our ability to play, which many of us have forgotten, as well as our passion and purpose, which many of us are seeking. Much of the content I wrote last year has actually gone into the book. I didn't plan it that way, but towards the end of last year, I noticed that I was perhaps writing a book without realizing it. It was fun to gather up all the content I've written over the last 5 years as part of my business, whether it was originally in the blog, sent via the newsletter, or lives on my website, and start to meld it into something new. My friends have a smart marketing strategy that they call the slice and sling method, where you take one long piece of content and slice it up into lots of little pieces of content that you can then sling around to other places like social media. I think what I just did was the opposite. I'll call it the gather and meld method, whereby I gathered some existing pieces of content and melded them into something shiny and new. As the saying often attributed to Aristotle goes, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, which I think is true in this case. So what's the book about? The book is called Soul Healing and Spirit Dancing, a seasonal journey to embody the balance, peace, and joy that is your birthright. At its core, the book is about finding balance, feeling better, and awakening to the deeper level of the soul. It's a self-coaching journey over 12 months organized by season: spring, summer, late summer, fall, and winter. Each month there's an essay for inspiration, as well as a practice to engage more deeply with the content. The idea is that you can either read it all at once and then go back and focus in on the one singular practice associated with whatever month you're currently in, or you can engage with it in a slow drip fashion, savoring each chapter month by month as your trusty guide and companion for your journey of evolution throughout the year. It's kind of like having me in your pocket all year, whispering helpful reminders to you throughout each month. Creepy or super cool. The funny thing is that this tiny book course that I took only lasted from January through March this year, and I believed that I too would finish my book by the end of the course, ready to birth my new creation into the world right at the beginning of springtime. They are not wrong that it's possible to create a book in 2 months, a tiny book, as the name of the course implies, but it is possible that my book isn't exactly tiny, and that I also forgot to account for the fact that anything I do seems to take me 3 times as long as the average human. A bit of my recovering perfectionist tendencies, perhaps. By that math, I'm right on schedule. So instead of birthing my creation right at springtime, I toiled on, continuing with the editing and tweaking, designing the interior layout, which I now have such a new appreciation for what the inside of a book looks like, as well as designing the cover. And during the springtime, another exciting thing happened. Moondance turned 5. Back on May 29th, I celebrated 5 years of being in business. It's been one hell of a personal growth journey, and I'm excited for what's still to come in the future. And I want to say a big thank you to all of you that have been a part of the Moondance journey, whether it's been coming to classes and workshops, working one-on-one together, reading the newsletter, or listening to this podcast and letting it be a part of your life. And much like the personal growth journey that is running a business, it turns out that writing and self-publishing a book can be an even more intense and concentrated journey of personal growth. It's certainly true that the project took much longer than I anticipated, and at times had me wondering, why did I decide to do this again? While I have reckoned with the creative process of writing and found ways that allow it to feel more joyous and inspiring, I found the process of self-publishing to be an enormous undertaking and often maddening. Possibly because I did every single step all by myself, did I mention I'm a recovering perfectionist? The project certainly showed me some remaining threads of perfectionism that are buried deep and allowed me to work on that aspect of personal growth in a whole new way. It also allowed me a huge pause from the outward activities of Moondance in order to analyze my tortured relationship to my business and to finally experience some big shifts around the beliefs I've held onto for so long regarding success, money, self-worth. And in the quiet spaces between working on the book itself, I had plenty of time to dream up the next iteration of what's to come in Moondance. I feel very excited about the prospect of some new offerings to come and will soon share more about that. And so, as spring became summer, and then that lesser-known fifth season of late summer rolled around this year, the book itself started to come into physical form. And there was something joyful about being able to hold an abstract idea in my hands as a physical object. To feel like, hey, I made a thing. I totally get artists and makers now. As someone who peddles intangibles like transformation and wellness and joy, there is something deeply satisfying about packaging these ideas into a physical object that people can hold and enjoy. Because who doesn't love curling up with a good book and a cup of tea and getting lost in possibilities? Everyone loves books, it's a fact. It's not actually a fact, but it seems like it could be one, you know? And so, as late summer rolled into autumn, I finally had the opportunity to share that one physical copy of the book with some friends and family. This was a surprisingly heartwarming experience for me. Being the recovering perfectionist, I've typically not shown my work to people until it's in its most perfect final form. And there were some glaring imperfections that were bothering me about the cover of the book. But I decided to do something differently this time. I decided to show it, imperfections and all, to a few trusted folks. And regarding those imperfections, these folks, well, they didn't care at all, or even notice that anything was amiss. It really helped me to switch perspectives and see that this book wouldn't be doing anyone any good to hold up in my cave while I endlessly tweaked and perfected it, but it would do a lot of good out in the world where people could actually enjoy it and interact with it. For any other recovering perfectionists here, you know that the leap from perfection to good enough is a chasm that shall not be crossed. So I didn't. And I instead asked myself, what if this was perfect? Because perfectionism is often a disease of perception that affects only the individual suffering from it, I had to ponder, what if all these tiny, quote-unquote, imperfections that only I can see don't actually exist? And what if what I'm holding here is actually perfect? What would that perspective give me? Well, it gave me the freedom to move forward, it gave me spaciousness, and it gave me peace. It allowed me to switch into a mode of completion and gratitude and excitement. Though I still had a few tweaks and changes to make to the interior content of the book after doing my final proof and read-through, I'm proud of myself for not allowing perfectionism to sabotage the higher purpose of helping people. It's funny how much we can get in our own way, and seeing ourselves through others' eyes can be a powerfully healing experience. As I continued to show people the book, I stopped prefacing it with all the things that are wrong with it, I instead would just soak in their excitement and love and say thank you. The people who've been able to hold the book in their hands have reported that it feels good, physically that the cover has a pleasing softness to it, and energetically that it just feels good. I can't wait to be able to share it with you as well. Because right around Thanksgiving, the book went live, being officially published and out in the world. But it wasn't without a few more strange and unforeseen circumstances that I was hoping to avoid. It's been a bit maddening at times to work with a particular printer distributor company, but that's a story for another time. But despite learning to love the book cover, despite a few minor imperfections, when what should have been the final proof copy of the book showed up at my doorstep with the entire cover shifted by a quarter inch, causing the cover to wrap onto the spine, it was all just a bit too much. It felt like the universe was saying, "Oh, hey, we heard you cured yourself of your perfectionism and declared it to the whole world, so just a quick test to see how you feel about this." Though this was a true error caused by the printing company, the whole ordeal still forced me to let go of a few more layers of perfectionism. Being a printing error, I would have loved to just call up the company, point out the obvious and simple error, and get it corrected. But that would be logical and easy, and this is a different kind of company. And where are the fun life lessons in that? So I came up with a creative solution to fix things from my end, and in the course of doing so, also managed to unintentionally fix one old issue I had learned to live with, though I have no idea what I did, and managed to create a whole new issue that I then had to work through. At one point, I was staring at a dozen different colored versions of the cover on my laptop screen, trying to figure out, how did we get from here to here? Eventually, just like with the last cover issue, I had to once again learn to accept where it was at, find the silver lining, and let go of my hopes for ultimate perfection. And once again, I've had a couple people report that they actually like the latest version better than the last version, so maybe it's all meant to be in the end, another life lesson in perfection. While I was making my way through those latest challenges, I had to take inspiration from one of the tiniest and most reviled of creatures, the spider. I believe that the world is constantly sending us messages, if we pay attention. And in one singular evening, I was given one message over and over to the point that I couldn't ignore it any longer, unless I wanted to find a tarantula on my bed pillow that night. First, standing in the doorway while letting my dogs out one night, my eyes suddenly went cross-eyed to refocus on the spider hanging directly in front of my face. Ew. Then I went to use the bathroom and found a spider sitting on top of the toilet paper. I have never, in almost 40 years, found a spider on the toilet paper. Then, when I looked in the mirror, I saw another spider on the wall right next to the mirror, and this time said, "Okay, I'll look up the meaning of spider in my animals book. Now, will you all please go away?" In The Shaman's Guide to Power Animals by Lori Morrison, some of the meanings associated with spider involve creativity, assertiveness, and patience. And with this most recent challenge with the book, I certainly needed all three. A bit of creativity to solve the problem in a unique way, a bit of assertiveness to address the company's error, and quite a lot of patience as I once again readjusted my vision of when this book would launch and what it would look like. It was helpful to feel that I would, in fact, make it through this particular challenge with a little creativity, assertiveness, and patience. This time it felt like perhaps the universe was saying, "Hey, we know this challenge sucks, but you're not alone and you will make it through." Just to drive the point home, the next day, while working on my laptop, a spider walked across my desk, another place I've never found a spider before. What are the messages you are receiving from the world? From the natural world around us? From our very own bodies? From the kinds of people or situations we keep encountering? When we don't notice or choose not to listen, how do these messages get louder or more repetitive? What is the lesson you're being called to learn at this particular moment on this journey of your soul's evolution? Despite the challenges of working with this particular book printer distributor, one of their benefits is having a huge distribution network, meaning you're now able to find the book online at a lot of places. It felt appropriate to pass along that news to my newsletter list on a full moon, the moon phase associated with culmination and celebration. It's also the moon phase associated with gratitude. For anyone here who has perhaps also been excitedly waiting to purchase the book, a huge thank you in advance for your enthusiasm and support. You're the best. You can find Soul Healing and Spirit Dancing online at Bookshop and IndieBound, which are cool because they support independent bookstores, at Barnes & Noble, Thrift Books, Walmart, and yes, Amazon, to name a few. It's funny that even though I've already held a physical copy of the book in my hands, it was seeing the book listed on Amazon that really made it feel real to me. Yes, this is the world we live in, feeling like you've really made it once you see your name on the sparkly Amazon marquee. However, I have noticed that Amazon is doing some weird things, like listing the book for more than the list price at the moment, whereas all the other places I mentioned have it marked at or below list price. So order wherever is most convenient for you, but just a heads up. I've also recently learned that this fall, Amazon removed its wonderful Look Inside the Book feature for reasons no one can understand. So I'll be posting an episode here soon where I'll share with you the preface of the book. And if you're not subscribed to the Moondance Wellness Coaching newsletter list, I'd recommend getting on that too, because I'll be sharing the book's table of contents there soon as well. Plus, the newsletter is the consistent backbone of the business, where you will always be kept in the loop about any and all happenings. I'll put a link to subscribe to the newsletter in the show notes for easy access. But for now, I'll clue you in that the book is set up in a month-by-month fashion and includes one key practice per month to really help embody the energy of that season. I think this lends itself well to some book club group coaching combos, so I'm foreseeing some offerings around that, based on input that there are many of you seeking group offerings as well. And I'm dreaming up some different versions of retreats in varying lengths where we can really take some of these practices to deeper levels. Getting back into working with groups has been on my own radar for this next year as well, so I'm happy to hear that many of you are looking for this also. If any of this piques your interest, be sure to check out the link in the show notes to sign up for the waiting list. It wasn't exactly intentional to completely close up shop this year, but things happen and here we are. But I am actually very grateful that working on the book forced me to take a big pause from the business activities, because it's been a good opportunity to figure out how to do things differently, both from the inside and the way I want to run my business in ways that are more soul aligned, as well as from the outside and the ways I hope to best serve you. It's been a huge help to hear from you in the form of this little survey that's been going out at the end of recent newsletters. Thank you to anyone who has taken a moment to fill it out. This is giving me invaluable data to help me shape what the next iteration of Moondance offerings will look like. Knowing that many of these opportunities will occur as small group offerings, this waiting list also means you'll be the first to hear about new offerings and the first to have a chance to sign up for anything that sparks your interest. Individuals on the waiting list will be notified before the newsletter list and before anything is announced via the podcast. Group coaching, group retreats, and virtual options are all on the table for next year, as you've expressed a lot of interest in these options. And of course, I'm happy to see that reading a book has been at the forefront of interest too. Be sure to get the book Soul Healing and Spirit Dancing. I'll put some direct links to book listings in those show notes as well. I'm especially looking forward to creating some ways to gather with kindred spirits in intimate small group settings for extra deep convos and meaningful experiences, with a focus on growth, community, and connection. Not only connection with each other, but perhaps more importantly, connection with yourself. The waiting list is for anyone who is curious about coaching type opportunities and gatherings, and doesn't require you to commit to anything just yet. If you're on the waiting list, you'll be the first to be notified about new opportunities to work together. If you've filled out any iteration of this form, you're all set. None of the questions in the survey are required, so fill out as much or as little as feels right to you. So follow the link in the show notes to get on the waiting list if you're feeling the call. And for anyone who has already purchased the book, thank you. It's definitely cool to make things, but even better when people actually want those things. And if the book itself isn't your jam, but you want to help out, please tell a friend or two about it. Word of mouth marketing is always the best. Thank you. So that's what I've been up to with the business in 2023. It's been a bit of a cave-like year, hunkered down and hyper-focused on one seemingly endless project. I actually don't mind sticking with a long project, toiling away little by little, working towards the vision at the end. In fact, sometimes I prefer it. I am a tortoise through and through, this I've come to know. Sometimes I wish I was the hare. It does seem a bit more exciting, showy, attention-grabbing. And yet that infamous fable of the tortoise and the hare speaks to one of my favorite sayings attributed to 4th century Taoist philosopher Lao Tzu. Nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished. It is the tortoise who continues on his quest, undeterred, determined, painstakingly slow, but perseverant until the end. Sometimes I like to remind myself that the tortoise doesn't just cross the finish line, he actually wins that race. Motivation for your day if you too are a tortoise in a hare's world. But not to discount the hare's strategy altogether. While his arrogance meant that he lost the race to the tortoise, he did find time in his day to take a nap and enjoy a bit of stillness. This is its own kind of wisdom. When you inevitably find yourself getting caught up in the whirlwind of holiday energy that surrounds us during this season, take a moment to remember the tortoise and the hare and decide how you too could incorporate a bit of slowness or stillness into your day. If this time of year gets you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, anxious, like there's simply too much to do suddenly on your plate, be kind to yourself. It's easy to feel that way in this busy society we live in, and even easier to feel that way during this time of year where we almost pride ourselves on just how busy we can be. If you're feeling a bit off, gently remind yourself that there's nothing wrong with you. In fact, there's something quite right with you. It's simply your well-functioning internal scales giving you an important message that you're leaning off balance. So many of us hear this message, but not everyone chooses to listen to the message. It's hard. We're not meant to be living the way we are living, always on some mad collision course with burnout. So when our hustle culture doesn't naturally support our right to live a peaceful, balanced life, what are we to do? We have to think for ourselves. What if you chose to listen to this wise message coming from your body, mind, heart, and soul? Listen, heed the message, and take the radical step of slowing down, sitting quietly, and doing nothing, even for one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, to return to balance. Remember that deep breathing practice from the beginning of this episode. It only takes 1 minute to make a small but powerful shift in how you feel. Thank you again for all of the kind words of support, encouragement, and enthusiasm that you have sent my way along the journey this year. I am very, very grateful that you're willing to be here, letting me tell you about the things I'm excited about and the thoughts in my head. We live in a strange world that doesn't always make sense, but finding people who get you and understand your particular brand of magic is what makes the crazy ride worth it. Let's be those people for each other. May you enjoy this holiday season. Remember to breathe deeply, have fun, and take some time to reflect on what you're feeling grateful for in your life. It may sound cliche, but gratitude is our quickest path to joy. For more info on personal growth and wellness coaching, visit moondancecoaching.com. Set up your free intro call or find an upcoming class or event.